Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the latest episode of the Miami Hurricanes Talk with Danny podcast. My guest this week is Chad Bishop from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. He covers Georgia Tech, Canes and Georgia Tech Saturday night, 8 o'clock on ACC Network at Hard Rock Stadium. And Brad Tejada, who from Canes Insight, he's a contributor there. He's here to join me this week. Gentlemen, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
First
No
thing
problem,
I
Danny.
want to look, okay, where do we start with Georgia Tech? Chad, defensive coordinator changed this week. As you know, the new defensive coordinator, by the way, is come who's a guy who came over from the Giants. He was with the Giants, if I'm not mistaken. It is I'm pulling that up now. I'm sorry if I got back. Yeah. Kevin Shearer is the new defensive coordinator. What can we expect from him, Chad, going into this game? How is he prepared differently than what the other one did?
Yeah, to be honest, I don't know if there's going to be a whole lot of difference, excuse me, especially to the naked eye. I mean, you only got a week to prepare. You make that change on Sunday. Georgia Tech's not going to go out there and reinvent the wheel, right? They're not going to go from a 3-3-5 to suddenly a 5-2 or a 4-4 defense. I think the thinking there for Georgia Tech is just sort of have a new voice, maybe some new energy, maybe call some different plays in some different situations. Maybe use some different personnel that's been used in the past. So I wouldn't expect Miami to be completely thrown off guard. I'm sure they've done their homework, not only in this year's team, but what Kevin Shearer has done in the past with his time at the Giants, and before that at his previous stop. So I don't think there's going to be a huge shift in what Georgia Tech is doing defensively. I just think there'll be some nuanced things when it comes to maybe play calling and personnel groupings.
Brad, you want to ask Chad a question?
Yeah, appreciate it, man. Chad, first and foremost, man, when you look at this Georgia Tech offense, Haynes King at quarterback, this is a quarterback that Miami was supposed to face last year against Texas A&M, and he got pulled right before that game and was not named the starter that week. So we haven't been able to see him last year. Going into this year, he's got 8 turnovers on the offensive side of the football. This Miami Hurricanes defense has created 7 turnovers so far just in 4 games. What is your feel on Haynes King as an overall quarterback, not just him, but the overall offense, as far as how many turnovers they end up creating on the offensive side of the ball, and where you expect that turnover ratio to be for this football game?
Yeah, Haynes King has been outstanding. He's thrown 15 touchdown passes, 4 picks, and 2 of those picks were on tip balls, so weren't necessarily his fault. With offensive coordinator Buster Faulkner, quarterback's coach Chris Winkie, a name that if Miami fans are probably familiar with, him being, Florida State legend, they've done really a masterful job of organizing and designing this offense around Haynes King's strengths. I mean, he's thrown the ball to a lot of different wide receivers. He's been able to run the ball a little bit. He's not necessarily a dual threat quarterback, but he can pick up a first down with his legs. And he's done a really good job of decision making. Some of those turnovers have been on sacks where, he was blindsided and his offensive line didn't pick up the protection. This is still, a new offense in its first year, but it's put up a lot of points and a lot of yards and at times looked really, really good. The main thing there for them, like the rest of Georgia Tech's team, is being consistent because let's go back to that Bowling Green game. It was 14-0 Georgia Tech less than 6 minutes in, and they didn't score again until the fourth quarter. It was really a microcosm of what Georgia Tech has been dealing with this season. So you go into Saturday night against, like you said, a Miami defense, which is outstanding and causes a lot of turnovers. Georgia Tech cannot turn the ball over. They'll be dead in the water because the way their defense has been playing, which is not great compared to how their offense has been playing, which has been great. That offense has to keep Georgia Tech in the game, and they do that by not turning the ball over.
And another thing they're going to get back is Leo Blackburn, Chad, this week. He sounded optimistic. I saw Brent Key saying that, he's far ahead of schedule, but he hasn't been cleared yet, so we won't see Leo Blackburn. But the wide receiving core is pretty deep. Who should we watch for in this game on Saturday from the receiving core?
Yeah, you're right about that. Georgia Tech did a masterful job in the transfer portal, really strengthening that wide receiver group and that wide receiver room. Malik Rutherford's the returner. He's been here a while. He's probably the go-to. I put some air quotes around that go-to wide receiver. But Eric Singleton's a true freshman. He has a touchdown catch in every game so far. He's got 5 of them, 1 in each game. Jamal Haynes is a converted wide receiver now playing running back. He's been outstanding in the run game. Chase Lane probably could be back. He's a Texas A&M transfer who has missed the last three games, but he's got 100 yards receiving in the first two games. Christian Leary, Alabama transfer. He's an Orlando kid from Edgewater High School. He's come on strong the last couple of games, not only receiving the ball, but in the return game. So they have a lot of options, and they've used their tight ends very well as well. Haynes King, like I said, has done a really good job of distributing the ball to a bunch of different guys. That's really the strength of this offense right now is Haynes King and the many wide receivers he's been throwing the ball to.
Yeah, Brad, what do you want to ask about Chad here? Yeah, get the next question.
No, I mean, not necessarily ask, but just go ahead and add. I mean, me as a Hurricane fan, you know, us coming off a bye, we were a third of the way into this football season. We got the number 7th ranked offense, number 12 defense in the country right now. Going up against a team like Georgia Tech, who, you know, like we mentioned, made a defensive coaching change on that side of the ball. Offense is doing well. They're going to come out to play and give it all they got, right? And with games like this, as a Hurricane fan, the guys that I have to circle and make sure don't create separation and do their thing on the offensive side of the ball are those guys that wanted those Miami Hurricane offers, right? Those local guys. You mentioned guys like Christian Leary, but the guy I'm going to circle has to be Malik Rutherford. He's from Hialeah Champignon, right there, you know, a few miles away from the stadium out in Hard Rock, here in Coral Gables. And, well, Coral Gables obviously is not where Hard Rock is. But like I was saying, Malik Rutherford, I know his high school coach that coached him in high school. And this is a young man that dreamed, that wanted that Miami Hurricane offer very, very bad. And the fact that he never got that offer, this is going to be a young man that not only to watch out in the return game, but he's going to line up in the slot. He could create separations very fast. He's going to be a guy that can catch a screen pass and take it the distance if he has the room and wiggle room. So you got to make sure that you contain guys like Malik Rutherford.
Yeah, that's going to be a key in this game. There's no doubt about that. I mean, you look at Georgia Tech, you know how good they are. The defense is going to pose a challenge. I read your piece, Chad, on this, by the way, Pat. Haynes King said they're well coached. They're going to blitz. And we talked about the defense. Now, remember, like Brad, you said, we didn't see King last year in College Station. But these guys lead the ACC in offense. I mean, like you said, this team is pretty good. So our defense is going to have our hands full. How have they prepared to face a Miami defense like this, Chad?
Yeah, that's the huge matchup, right? Is this Georgia Tech offense against this Miami defense? And it's probably, I'm not going to say probably, it will be the best defense that Georgia Tech has faced so far. Wake Forest was pretty good. Louisville, you know, I'd say they probably had an average defense, and Bowling Green should not have shut Georgia Tech down like it did. But I think they know that. And honestly, Georgia Tech has sort of played to their level of competition so far. They played their best game against Wake Forest. They played really well against Ole Miss. That score was not really indicative of how close that game was in the fourth quarter. So I think it'll be interesting to see what this Georgia Tech offense does against that Miami defense. How they against Ole Miss, it was interesting to watch how Georgia Tech sort of dictated the tempo and where they slowed the game down. You know, they're one of these high tempo, quick moving offenses. And against Ole Miss, I think it was pretty advantageous that they sort of slowed the game down and sort of drained the clock and used up that time of possession. They weren't able to do it for long enough to win the game in the end, but we'll see if they do that against Miami as a way to keep that Miami defense maybe a little bit tired, maybe eat up some clock, maybe to keep their defense fresh. Again, like I said earlier, they cannot turn the ball over. They have to be incredibly careful with the football. They need to get their ground game going because it was terrible against Bowling Green, their worst game of the season. And I know that keeps Brent Key up at night because he's a former offensive lineman. If they can sort of get that run game going to sort of neutralize Miami's defense, that'll open up the passing game. I know those are big ifs, but I think that's the only chance Georgia Tech has at winning this game.
And Cam and Brad, I think we know we're going to get Cam Kitchens back this week. Takori Couch is coming back. Takori Couch had a 3-interception game, I believe. And then Thomas Gore had 2 sacks. And Frank Malgoa had 18 tackles. I think that was against the Temple game, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and we are also without Branson Dean and Akeem Ezidor. Some of those guys looked for maybe one, if not both of those guys to come back. Trevante Citizen is still questionable. I would say he's still a couple weeks out, you know, per Mario's interview, like we heard the other day. He's getting some work. He's just a week or two away from game football, man. So we can't wait to have another running back in that carousel in that backfield. But you know, those big ifs for Georgia Tech to win, man. Those are big ifs that I don't think is going to happen. You know, you talk about getting a Miami Hurricane team tired in their home stadium. That is something that we kind of use as our strengths at home. So I don't see that happening. And then when you talk about the trenches, you know, getting worn down, especially our defensive line, I actually think that Miami's offensive line has the best, you know, out there, and not even just in the ACC, but possibly in the country. And that's an offensive line that our defensive line goes up against every day in practice. So that's great competition that you're going to want to get on, to where when you do face a team like Georgia Tech, you know, that isn't something that you haven't already seen already. I think what we've gone through with a team like Texas A&M and Miami, Ohio, I think we've been able to do everything we're supposed to do. And I think all this is just another step in the right direction for the Hurricanes. We just got to be able to show that we can't come off a bye, sluggish, tired, stay consistent, execute, and get out of this game with not only a W, but healthy.
Yeah. Chad, talk about Deonte Smith. I know you mentioned that you had talked to somebody about that. What could we know? What do we know about Deonte Smith?
Yeah, you know, coming into the year, Georgia Tech really thought they'd have a running back by committee and a three-headed monster back there with Deonte Smith. You know, he's in the top 40 of career rushing yards at Georgia Tech, and he's the veteran in that room. They added Trey Cooley, a Louisville transfer, and Jamal Haynes, who I mentioned earlier, who switched over from wide receiver. But Deonte Smith hasn't played a ton. He caught one pass against Bowling Green, hasn't had a single carry in a few weeks. I think there's some nagging injuries there when we're allowed to be at practice. He's never fully involved in the offense. I think he has been maybe the last week or so. If they can get him going, that's going to, again, just help Georgia Tech's offense be that more dynamic, because he's a guy who's played a lot of ball and he's got a veteran presence. But right now, Trey Cooley and Jamal Haynes have been taking much of the carries, and Jamal Haynes has really been that, really coming to that number one back, that workhorse, and out of the backfield. If they can have all three of them healthy for a game and get all three of them the rock, that'll help that offense be a lot more dynamic, like I said.
No question about that. I have to agree. The thing I really watch when I look, when you talked about offense versus defense, I need to look at Miami's offense against Georgia Tech's defense, because Georgia Tech's defense against the run is putrid. I mean, let's be honest, it is putrid. Although the pass defense is okay, how is Georgia Tech's defense preparing to face three or four different backs that Miami's going to throw at them Saturday night? And Brad, you can chime in as well.
Yeah, I'll start. I mean, it's going to be tough, and it may be rough, because coming into the season, you know, I think we all thought Georgia Tech's defense would actually be the strength of the team, and it's sort of flipped roles. It's been the weakness. They had a really, you know, talented and experienced secondary coming back. They had some depth on the defensive line. They added in some transfers at linebacker to sort of help the talent level and the depth. But that defensive line has not performed up to expectations, and really got manhandled by a Bowling Green team that had been terrible to that point. So very, very concerning and strange, given that the week before they dominated Wake Forest and had a ton of tackles for loss and a ton of sacks. Kyle Kennard had four sacks by himself from the defensive end position. And Brent Key had challenged those guys before the Wake Forest game to raise their level, which they did, but then they came back down to earth against Bowling Green. So it's, if they cannot, you know, square up that Miami offensive line, it's going to be a very, very long night. And like Brad sort of alluded to, on paper, that's certainly a mismatch. So Kevin Scheer, the new defensive coordinator, Brent Key, the head coach, they're going to have to figure out a way to neutralize that Miami offensive line. And I'll give them $100 if they can figure it out, because I wouldn't want to be the one to try to figure that out.
Brad, you want to chime in?
Yeah. No, I mean, I totally agree as well, man. And just to mention, you know, this is a game, you know, Miami is obviously debuting the new Miami Knights uniform. So we hope to have a lot of fans in the stadium. They got that Miami crowd atmosphere. And not to mention, we got a lot of big time recruits, whether it's 2024 guys that we're going after or 2025 recruits that will be in the building that night. And a lot of those guys are on the offensive side of the ball, specifically either at quarterback or wide receiver. So this is going to be a game in particular that I look for this offense to really air it out. You know, Mario kind of alluded to in the presser that there could be another two or three extra pass catchers that we haven't really seen much of this year yet that is going to start to come out this football game. That goes to show that, you know, they're not going to be afraid to air it out. And like Danny, like you alluded to, Miami is coming into this game knowing that Georgia Tech has a very, you know, rough rushing defense. But they also are going into this game, especially the coaching staff, respecting this program. They're not going in, you know, with a slouch or overlooking them, right? So they're going to take whatever the defense gives them. And if I'm a defensive coordinator, especially taking over a defense, you're going to want to band-aid or fix the number one issue on that defense, which is the rushing defense, right? So if they're going to come into the game trying to stack the box or kind of say, hey, you're not going to run on us like the past, we're going to make sure you don't run. I actually think that benefits Miami even more, especially like I alluded to with the recruits, but just, you know, Tyler Van Dyke, he's having a heck of a season so far this year. He's on pace to be a Heisman candidate, has one of the highest QBRs in college football right now. So if you're wanting him to throw the football, I mean, by all means, we'll definitely do it. So I think it's going to be a pick or poison battle, and it's going to be a tough one for Georgia Tech.
Yeah, and I look at last year, Chad, them dealing with Cam Kitchens. I think, Brad, if I'm not mistaken, he had three picks last year in that game in Atlanta against Georgia Tech.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So the thing we have, how is Georgia Tech trying to contend with that back end of Miami's defense?
I think, you know, probably their best plan of attack and what they've done really to this part of the season is like a lot of offenses in college football, a lot of short passes, a lot of screens, a lot of, horizontal throws to set up the deep ball. Now it's going to be, like we mentioned before, it's going to be incredibly difficult for the Tech wide receivers to get behind or to get open in that Miami secondary. So you have to do a lot of things before you take those shots to get some of those guys open. But a Tech, again, I've liked what I've seen out of Buster Faulkner, the offense coordinator, Haynes King, and their ability to sort of pick apart defenses and find the weaknesses at times. They haven't done it consistently for 60 minutes yet. But if they can do that Saturday, they're going to get some yards and get some points. I mean, that loss to Bowling Green didn't really change my perception of this Tech team. I still think they're going to be competitive and be able to score at times. It's just a matter of how often can they do it. So they know going into this game against, again, the best defense they've faced to this point, this incredibly talented secondary who got even better this week with Cam coming back. They're going to have to figure out a way to get some of these guys open. So I'll be curious and interested to see, you know, how they do that coming in Saturday night.
Okay. All right, guys, before I let you out, okay, keys to the game. Okay, Chad, keys to a Georgia Tech upset.
Have to play mistake-free football, number one. That's no turnovers. That's limited penalties. That's, you know, all the cliche things. Scoring in the red zone, not missing field goals. If you're going to go on the road in league play against a ranked team, a very, very good ranked team, you can't beat yourself. So that's number one for Georgia Tech. And then number two, it's playing adequate defense. I mean, at least for the, you know, at the foundational level, they don't have to play out of their minds defensively, but at least do something to get some three and outs, get some turnovers, do something positively defensively to get their offense back on the field. Because to me, Georgia Tech's offense gives them their best chance to win this game.
All right. Keys to a Miami win, Brad.
Yeah, I think first and foremost is just come out and don't play out of character, right? Don't come into this game overlooking the opponent. That's before the game even starts, pre-game warm-ups. You know, you need to be just as hyped as first game of the season or if you're playing Texas A&M. And then you got to execute, right? Not only on the offensive side of the ball, but like I mentioned before, the turnover margin is one margin that usually wins football games. And especially when that is a weakness for Georgia Tech, you got to be able to capitalize on a team like Miami that has done a very good job creating turnovers. But not only that, I think this is going to be a really good football game. Like we just talked about before earlier about Haynes King, a lot of his mistakes or fumbles or turnovers did come off of, QB rushes. And that is something that Miami has done a very good job at this season, but they haven't been able to finish, right, to actually get the sack. They've been able to create a lot of rushes, hurries, but I want to see them execute and actually finish. So I expect a lot of sacks and a few turnovers for Miami to win this football game by at least 20, 30 points.
I'm going to go – here are my keys to the game, guys. Make Georgia Tech one-dimensional. You know, King does have the big play threats at wide receiver, but he's also gunslinger. He'll make mistakes. We have to capitalize on – Miami has to capitalize on those mistakes for them, for the Kings to win. Dominate the running game. In other words, like we said, those four backs against that horrid Georgia Tech defense, especially that run defense. I don't think any of us has talked about this. Special teams. How good is Georgia Tech's special teams, guys? And what can we do to prevent big returns? The way, I don't know about Georgia Tech's return game. What can you tell us about Georgia Tech's special teams, Chad?
Yeah, they've been okay. They made a change at kicker early on, and put in a freshman named Aiden Burr, who's from the state of Texas, and he's been really good so far at the place kicking game. They've been good in their coverage units. I mentioned Christian Leary, the wide receiver, earlier. He's been returning kickoffs and punts. He had a couple big kick returns in the Bowling Green game. Not that it did any good for the offense afterward, but he's still a dangerous weapon back there, an incredibly fast young man. And the punter is an older guy who's been there for a long time, an Irish native. They're solid in the special team game. I haven't seen it give them a huge advantage either way, but it hasn't hurt them except for last week against Bowling Green when they had a punt snap hit the up back in the shoulder pad because he wasn't aligned correctly. That was about the worst special teams play I've seen Tech have this season and probably one of the worst special teams plays they've had in a long time. But it's a solid group in special teams for Georgia Tech.
I think so, too. I think when you look at special teams, in the past, we have lost to Georgia Tech because of kicking errors, bad special teams. We have to win that battle, in my opinion. And the off week. Brad, you and I have gone through this a few times. The off week. What have we done when we've come up in the past off bye weeks? We have come out flat. If this Miami team is different from years past, this team has got to come out on a mission and with a purpose. Would you not agree?
Yeah, absolutely, Danny. And I think the good thing is you're kind of seeing that, you know, in these pre-interviews, right? The week leading up to the football game, whether it's this football game or some of these other games that have been hyped up, you know, going back from the beginning of the season, who's the real Miami, right? You know, the questions of, you know, those biting answers of these interview questions of getting these athletes to want to say more than what needs to be said. And whether it's the Texas A&M game, you know, the get back, well, with Shamar Stewart, and now with this game, you know, that the hype around these new all black uniforms, and like you mentioned before, coming off a bye week, is Miami really as real as people say? And this is going to be another opportunity to show that. And I think you're seeing guys like Cam Kitchens, James Williams, kind of take the rest of these guys under their wing and kind of talk the talk and walk the walk.
Exactly, and I think so too. Gentlemen, I'm gonna let you go with predictions. Predictions for Saturday night. Chad, I'll start with you.
You know what? We're recording here on a Thursday. I think the spread is upwards of 20, 21 points. I'm gonna vote for Tech to keep it within that 21. I think it's probably a 42, you know, 24, 28 game, Miami in favor.
Brad.
Yeah, I'm gonna say 41-10, Miami.
I'm going to go 45-17 Canes. I think it's more like the old Miss game they had. I think Canes win comfortably. Let's not get anybody hurt and then get ready for North Carolina next week. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming on, Chad. Thank you for coming on. I appreciate it, Brad. Thank you. We'll talk during the week, Brad, offline, and we'll talk again down the road. Take care.
All right. Thanks.